Few weeks ago, Muslims across the universe celebrated an Eid or a festival to, you know, celebrate the end of Ramadan, which is the holy Muslim or the holy month of the Muslims. And during these 30 days, we were already on production in Quest City, and it brings us to a space of what is the space or what is the place of sexuality in Islam? What about our queer Muslim folks? Our queer Nigerian Muslim folks?
Hello, beautiful people. It's Okay Timile in the queer end of Quest City podcast. How are the queers doing, most especially? And you all are welcome to Quest City Podcast. We are your favorite Nigerian LGBTIQ lifestyle weekly podcast. And this is a crossover episode with Why Ninja.
Non-binary chat, to be specific. Yes, thank you so much. So my name is Adu Aminu, as you all know. If you've been following Non-Binary Chat, which we started December last year, is a chat series where we cover everything non-binary. So that includes mental and emotional health, sexuality, faith and spirituality, gender, disability, all that. So for this month's episode, we decided to have a crossover podcast chat with Queer City Podcast. And it's going to go live on Wednesday on Why Naija. But if you're following the podcast, you can, of course, get it tomorrow.
Yes, tomorrow it will be available on Apple Podcast, Spotify, Google Podcast, and every beautiful place y'all get good podcast from. Only good podcast.
Okay. Shall we begin?
A little dive into yourself, Ado.
Okay, like I'd already done the introduction of my name being Ado. I mean, which is, I think, more a pen name, I guess, because if I'm asked to introduce myself, I always like to go full tilt and give my full name, which is Ado Aminu Aminu, right? I am NB, which means that I'm non-binary, and my preferred pronoun is they. But if you happen to use he, I wouldn't throw a bottle at you, but I mean, I still prefer the they, because I'm trying to distance myself from masculinity generally.
Men ask.
I know. I know it in my soul. It poisoned my soul.
But then you still like things in between your legs, honey.
Fair.
One thing you do not, or you fail to hide, would I say, if that's a safe word, is your faith. Ado is one of the loudest queer Muslim I know in Nigeria. How has it been finding a community? That's the word.
So I like to say, I like to say things are easy, because I always maintain an optimistic worldview.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, it's easy, but it's also hard.
Tell us about it.
Alright, so this is the thing. I spent most of my adult life in Kano.
Mm-hmm.
Some of it in Kaduna, and been around Abuja a bit. And then I moved to Lagos. So most of my entire formative experience was immersed in the Hausa Muslim culture of Kano State, right? And from my interactions as a queer person with other Hausa Muslims, and you would know that despite the fact that I didn't have a choice when it comes to interacting with cis heterosexual Hausa Muslims, if given the choice, at every stage in my life where I did have the choice to select who I am around, I'd always selected to be around queer Muslims, which is not easy to do, because a lot of queer Muslims do not really see their identity as regards sexuality and faith tying together. Like, sexuality is something of a play that they do until they have to get down and get serious and do the right thing, which is supposed to be marrying a woman and settling with the woman, even if that means that they'll continue chasing around boys as young as their nieces and nephews.
Right.
And in some cases, their children.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's not easy to find community that is self-accepting. But if you present yourself to be self-accepting, there is a way in which that thing about like mind attracting like,
mm-hmm.
which is this isn't a license for ignorant homophobes.
Right.
Like, positive charges do not attract. But like attracts like, mm-hmm. in the sense that once you present as somebody who is self-accepting and unapologetic about your queerness,
right.
and refusing to relinquish your spirituality because some bearded Islamic scholar says that is not how a Muslim should be, because you're not worshiping him, you're worshiping Allah. So I don't understand why are you listening to a bearded
Muslim? This brings me into me saying that queering Islam is very fabulous, and what chances does this religion leave for sexuality to exist not as a choice? Emphasis on not as a choice.
Not as a choice. All right. So I think I'll just hearken to what has helped me. And by the way, doing this for yourself means that you have to do a lot of filtering, a lot of selecting of. It's cherry picking. Everybody does it.
Right.
So you have to do a lot of that.
Yes.
So one thing that has driven me is the understanding of the attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? Which is that Allah is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
He makes no mistake.
What?
He's all-knowing, all-powerful, all-merciful, all-loving. So when I think about the perfection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and how he created this world, exactly how he knows it will unfold, and it's perfectly comfortable to watch it unfold, which is where we have the grace. Any Muslim will tell you that we have the grace of the choosing prophet,
mm-hmm.
unlike people of past that are recorded in the Quran, in the Bible, in the Torah, to have suffered immediate retribution for mm-hmm. their misdeeds, if misdeeds they were.
Mm-hmm.
We get to live out our lives and then face judgment in the hereafter. So I'm like, it's clearly stated out. There is a hereafter. We are all answering, not to each other, but to Allah. So my driving force is always that I'm not worshiping you mortals.
Mm-hmm.
I am above your judgment, and I'm going to live out my life exactly how I want to live it out, ready to face the retribution of Allah.
Ado, you said something which really struck me and would drive me into my next question. You say we all do cherry picking, right? Which means that, for example, in Nigeria, we know that one of the cherries Nigerian religious people love to pick, or religious leaders love to pick, is queerness and money parts in their religious books, right? So I would want us to like dive into how religion had been a tool of capitalism and how sexual minorities are its immediate victims, including women.
This is like, this to me is honestly like a whole topic of
on its own,
because it has so many layers and nuances, but I will try to do justice to it as much as I can from my perspective.
If you all want us to do this as a podcast episode, make sure you reach out to us via social media. So you were saying,
I mean, and if you'll be listening to me, you will make a point to say you want that. There is a lot to learn from that. So I think a lot of Muslims would argue with you against the idea that Islam has been co-opted as a tool of capitalism, because the Sharia, which is supposed to be the ideal governing system in an Islamic state, has a specific set of economic rules that allow for redistribution of wealth with the poor and all that. So maybe not that, but then there is always the tool of there is always the risk of kind of asserting control. When you have organized religion, you need leadership, and because of the way and nature that the religion itself came to be,
mm-hmm.
it is basically like a handbook written by men for the benefit of men in one way or another. So wherever the rules are set, they are not there to protect the queer man, they are not there to protect the woman, they are not there to protect the sexual minority, the trans person. It's always there to protect the cis heterosexual male that can basically police all these other people and have a sense of power over others. So there is always that sense of control. So it's about control as far as I'm concerned, which is why I divested myself from the idea of listening to this mullah or that mullah or this Islamic school or that Islamic school. As far as I'm concerned, if I can live as genuinely and honestly and empathetically as possible while honoring other human beings, I think I'm good in the book of Allah. So I think we should do more to demolish that.
Mm-hmm.
We should do more to demolish the need to be under others' control.
Mm-hmm.
That would be basically like us fighting every system of oppression, capitalism included.
So we'll go on this short break, and after this break we would get back into storytelling. Story.
Glow Up Pride 2021 is here. Whoop! We're having our virtual pride again, honeys. Go get prepared, because we're about to go fabulous. Are you enjoying this podcast episode? Help us create more episodes like this, more queer content that are tailored for queer activism in Nigeria, by using the donation button on our website, www.queercpodcast.com. Your donations, they help us continue the productions of our content. Love you.
Love a podcaster. Hi everybody, I am OK Timilay, and you're still welcome to Questy Podcast. It's been a whole 10 minutes of discussion around queering, or how innate sexuality is in Islam, and my host had been Ado Aminu. And this session is a crossover session again, in case you've forgotten, with non-binary blog of White Ninja. So Ado, we're moving on this episode with Story.
Okay.
You know those things we used to do when we were younger?
Story.
We need to tell this story if we are on this episode. It's a very important one. And this story is the most is the most misinterpreted story in all of religion or all of spirituality or written religious text. Mm-hmm. And in this case, it is the story of Prophet Lut, alayhi salatu wasalam, or who y'all call, they call him in Christian?
Lot.
Thank you so much. Yes, Lot. And his wife turned to socks.
You're sure your ass. Will your mother be proud of you like this? Failing to remember Lot.
No,
remember Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yeah, so let's Sodom talk about it. So I do understand Sodom and Gomorrah. And everything that's happening around the world is just like, they are quick to reminisce Sodom and Gomorrah. So let's talk about that story. Let's even unpack it.
Let's unpack it is quite the phrase to use when talking about that story, because it needs a lot of unpacking.
We don't know anything. We just want to unpack.
It needs so much unpacking. The amount of, forgive my French, mindfuckery it takes to accept that the moral of that story is same-sex relationships are evil, and so God decided to turn a whole city over on its head while pouring down fire and brimstone on the overturned city.
How can an entire city be queer? Can we be realistic?
Exactly. It's absolutely, by the way, statistically speaking, being very liberal with the statistics, like just
one in every 10, one in every 10,
one in 10 people,
one in every 10 is queer.
So let's say in Nigeria's 200 million population, 20 plus are queer,
just 20
plus million,
and they don't live in a state, they don't live in a city,
they don't live in one state.
Even we in queer city, we don't have loads of queer people living here.
Yes, and then picture a scenario where God looks down on an earth and it's like, this city, everybody but this man and some of his friends and his family,
mm-hmm,
with the exception of his wife that turned to a pillar of salt
for looking back.
To be fair, salt was a precious commodity in human history for quite a very long time.
Mm.
And the lot of women in most of these religions is hardly different from the lot of salt.
Right.
Pun intended, the lot of salt.
Right.
So, I think Islamically, what that story has done is create a whole generation of word spinners, basically, that take this story and keep embellishing it with all the horrors involved in being queer. Completely ignoring the fact that, as far as the Quran is concerned, I think the infraction of the people of Prophet Lut was more their failure to listen to the message of God for years and years. And they're straying and refusing to do the things that he has been instructing them to get closer to God that way. They kept refusing bribery, money laundering, debt shirkers. What do they call them? Those people that will give you a debt and in a short time basically bankrupt you with the interest, with the compounding interest. Like backstreet debt givers. There is a terminology for it. English is not our mother tongue.
I'm sorry.
There is a terminology for it. So all those things were happening and they were not listening to the message and God just got tired of it. If at all there is a moral to that story, is maybe listen when you are being spoken to, listen when you're being given a message. And the message from my mouth and from the mouth of all queer Nigerians that I've come across is, let people live. Let them live with the consequences of their choice, if choice it is. I mean, even if sexuality is a choice, let people live with that choice.
So can I say, how do we now build a community of people who have come in term with their sexuality as regards queer Muslims? Can we have like a actual body of like queer Muslims that foster themselves in spirituality and faith of Islam?
We can. And I talked about how the only way this is possible is if we have stronger secular institutions, which is where the feeling of the Nigerian situation is deeply rooted. The fact that our secular institutions are not so secular, because religious bodies and religious groups are pushing and lobbying for laws that massage their egos, because the laws do not do anything for them at all. It's just an ego massaging thing, like the idea that I work in power, I have the ability to dictate how a whole group of human beings can live, even if they don't believe in my faith, which is exactly what the SSNPA is, which is what the penal code law about what's the term that is used in law, I think it's thuggery or something. There's a term for it also. A man that dresses in the manner of a woman that
vagabond.
Vagabond. I'm like, okay, I'm a vagabond. So what? Why is that the state's problem? So if you have stronger institutions that protect people's rights to be, that's really the message. If you have institutions to protect people's right to be, we'd have more queer Muslims who have the audacity. And I hate that it has to take audacity for someone to demand their right to practice their religion exactly how they choose, without some people saying, this thing that you're doing is wrong Islamically. You do not get to do that.
Right.
And basically using the institution of state to harass you into practicing your religion the way they dictate how you must do, as if you are worshipping them and not worshipping Allah. Like, it doesn't make any sense. At the end of the day, even if you do what they say you should do, it is basically Riya. And Islamically, Riya doesn't get you any closer to God. It actually distances you from God, because you are doing things for the gaze of people, not for Allah's pleasure.
Talking about pleasure, Ado.
Right?
How much sexual positivity does Islam allow?
None.
But So y'all can't be sexual as Muslims.
Unfortunately, there is no sexual freedom when it comes to Islam.
But I heard about like loving children.
Well, that's the thing. And again, I keep drawing parallels with the other Abrahamic religions. Mm-hmm. When you say the Abrahamic faith, you're talking about
Christians and Islam,
Judaism and Islam, all three actually, and all the other branches that are under that, Salafism, Ahmadiyya, like there is a lot on that.
I know, right?
But like these three major ones have a connecting thread, which is purity culture. So whether it's Muslims or Christians, there is no sexual positivity.
You must not be sexual
outside of the pre-approved method of sexual exploitation, which is marriage, cis heterosexual marriage, sanctioned by religion and community, right? So outside of that, really, there isn't much to think about when it comes to sexual positivity. Even your sexuality, being positive about your sexuality, would require you to accept both identities and work with them at your pace.
So, Ado, let's enjoy this episode a little bit more. Okay. And it would be...
So it is not all doom and gloom?
No.
Yeah, I like that, to be honest.
You know, as a rich queer person that I am... You know,
in the spirit, because God, I've not seen any expensive gifts.
Honey, don't. Yeah, oh, can you see? So donate to my podcast. Enjoy, you know, share me this morning so that I can sponsor. I would like to sponsor. Would you like to go to a pilgrimage with a group of queer Muslims? Would that be a dream come true?
Pilgrim.
Yes.
A pilgrim to Mecca.
To Mecca, yes. Mecca. With other queer Muslims, with a group of queer Muslims.
I would like for the opportunity to exist for others. Because so this is the thing. It has nothing to do with my queerness and more to do with a sense of national identity. That's how I see it. I've seen this. It's in the pilgrimage bit of the Five Pillars of Islam. First of all, to begin with, it's optional, right? In a lifetime, if you are able to, you have the means, you can go. And if you don't go, it's not that grave a sin as, say, missing your five daily prayers. So for the longest time, I've always seen it as far as I'm concerned, an avenue for the Saudis to fund their expensive lifestyle outside of oil and their arms deals with the US, whatever it is that is happening between those two. So as far as I'm concerned, it's a tool of capitalism at this point. Maybe back in the days when our grandparents were joining caravans and crossing deserts and going to Mecca and just doing their Hajj and coming back, that would have made sense. But now I'm not funding the expensive lifestyle of royals that are useless. They're only good for oppression, yes, by the way. So I beg, even if a gay travel agency somehow manages to get the license to fly in queer people in a perfect world where people are not so uptight about queerness, I am not going to put my hard-earned dollars into that. Yeah. But I will be happy for queer Muslims who want to do that.
That they can be able to.
Which means I'm all for that possibility existing.
So, making it more fun, can you narrate a queer-like story from the Quran or from the Adit of the Prophet?
I don't know that there is one. So, like, you know how there is a way you can look at the story of David and Jonathan, and you can see the homoromanticism layered in that, and you're like, oh my God, this is so beautiful. Like, this is this really not queer? It has to be, because it has the element of everything a queer relationship is supposed to be in this modern age. I don't know that there is a similar story like that. I mean, there is a story of a very intimate brotherhood that sustained Prophet Musa alayhi salam with which is his cousin. So that kind of rule out the possibility of homoromanticism.
In a world where they were allowed to marry their nieces?
To be fair, there is also that because like the relationship is so affirming between the two of them, always having each other's back,
nah,
and going through the desert for 40 years, girl. So that is the only one. But again, I say the dynamics do not really tally like that.
Right, we know.
So if at all I have to look back to a relationship in Islamic culture generally, not just the Quran,
mm-hmm.
I think the one that I find intimate enough for it to kind of capture the homoromantic ideal for me is the modern friendship of the Prophet and his favorite disciple, Abu Bakr. Muhammad and Abu Bakr, they were so close.
So close.
They got each other's back. Like, they were willing to take knives to the hearts for one another. It was pure love. Just pure
love at its purest.
Do you get? So like, I look at that and I'm like, oh my god, you people are so cute. I would like to have that kind of friendship. I remember thinking that at a very young age. It's like, this is the perfect friendship.
Right.
And then once I came to understanding sexual exploration, I'm like, it would be even more perfect, right, if I add this to it. Right. So like all the ingredients of great friendship, from a little sprinkle of orgasm now and then, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So yeah, that's about it.
Oh, so everybody, sorry, I have to break your heart, but then if you don't want your heart broken, you can just reach out to us via our social media that you want us to come back to our earlier question and have it as an entire episode on its own. We're wrapping up this episode with this question, Ado. With Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, throw anybody into hell for loving same sex? Oh, let me say it, Vero. Would Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, throw anybody in Jahannam for loving same sex?
I strongly think the fuck not. Again, forgive my friends. I absolutely think the fuck not. So here's the thing. One thing I've always told some of the queer Muslims I've interacted with who were gripped with a strong sense of terror, like, oh my god, I'm so afraid, I love this person and it's not supposed to be right, but this is how I feel about this person. I'm like, you haven't committed any sin loving someone.
You just laugh.
There is no sin. In fact, I feel like considering the power of love and how much the Prophet exhibited that power with all manner of people that he has come across through his preaching and spreading the word of Allah, I feel like you'll be adequately rewarded by Allah for loving someone regardless,
right,
of that person's gender.
Ain't that why we are
so,
here, love?
Nah, I absolutely do not think anybody is going to hell for loving same sex. But, and this is a big but, there is always the teaching of the religion about anal sex, which even in the context of the allowed marital setting is not exactly acceptable. So there is that. So if you want to live in a way that you still want to have no question about whether or not you have a problem with Allah, and then you can decide if you want to sort that out between the two of you in the hereafter, which is exactly what the fuck I do, you can remove sex from your vocabulary and just love someone. And there are so many other ways to explore sexuality without having anal sex.
Right.
So if you are the kind of devout Orthodox Muslim that doesn't want to end up in hell, you can love your lover, do what lovers do without crossing the boundary of anal sex.
Let me give you an example. We all should buy yourself toys.
Oh yeah, toys. Say it out loud.
Toys!
So you can absolutely explore your sexuality if you are that worried about that. But if you are the kind of person who is like, yo, whatever issues I have with Allah, we'll sort it out in the hereafter. I will raise my case. I'll defend my case. I'll be just
all I did was love, nah, orgasms, simple, like every other person.
Just collect your orgasms. Live your life. Ooh. Live fully. Ooh. And stay true to yourself.
Oh my God. So that's a wrap on this episode, guys. Don't forget, Glow Up Pride 2.0 is here by Ida Light June. Check out our social media for more information. Ado, salamu alaikum.
All right. wa alaikum assalam. Do have a lovely whatever time it is.
You bye bye.
I had to give up on the ending. I can't be chasing this stupid phone like that.